This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here with Laugh Out Proud
with Z and G on Joy 94.9.
Listening to Laugh Out Proud
with Z and G
on Joy 94.9. And look, Josh Wade just decided to step into the building. We appreciate it.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, I did. I saw you having a few dados out the front.
Yeah. That's a regular occurrence.
Guilty.
Guilty as charged. But thank you so much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad that I now know the word dartos. I'd never heard. I know dart,
I can't believe that you've never heard of the word dartos, to be honest with you.
I know.
I feel like I could say that you like to use a lot of like slang, you know, colloquialisms.
Yep.
And I'm just surprised you've never heard dardo before.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm surprised. I almost feel ashamed. I feel like a fraud.
No one in Queensland ever thought to put right? O at the end of dart. Right?
No, but we have put O amongst a lot of other words.
Yes.
So how did you get into comedy? How did you start?
Well, I started when I was younger. I was about 10 or 11. I was doing a lot of film and TV stuff. And then my parents were going through this breakup and I was sitting down watching TV and, you know, feeling a bit, you know, sorry for myself, and ended up putting Comedy Channel on, and they had this Ellen DeGeneres special on, and I'd never watched Ellen before. And
her new special's coming out, right?
Yeah, she's doing another stand-up show. I saw a post of her working on that. I mean, it's a photo of her on the bed writing it herself, but we all know she's got 4,000 writers that help.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she still does it, but they help. But, you know, she deserves that at that level.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I ended up putting that on, and I remember laughing so much that my ribs hurt and I was crying, and I've still never had that to this day.
Really?
Yeah, never like that before. Yeah.
Wow.
And I couldn't understand, like, what a, you know, like, 13-year-old kid from Townsville had in common with a 45-year-old lesbian from Tennessee, but I did. And
found common ground there. The connection was made,
and I was like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm also, like, a control freak, and I was like, the thing that was boring about acting was, you know, you're always told what to do, which essentially is that I hate being told what to do in general. And with comedy, I could write it, I can act it, I can perform it, and it's all, you know...
The control's all yours, you're right.
Yeah, essentially, you know, and I get the praise for, you know, my work, you know. Geez, that sounds like I'm such a narcissist. Well, I am. But, that got me into it, and then that night, I went to the computer and I searched in, like, open mics in Townsville, which there's none, but mainly for just musicians, and there was an Irish pub that wasn't far from us, and I emailed them and said, hey, can I do some comedy? And they said, yep, Thursday night, 10:30 p.m., and I was like, all right, Mum, we're going in to do some comedy, and... She was like, I think she was terrified for me because she had to go sign me in, and there was like three or four dudes that were, you know, they were at the pub at that point because they were trying to escape their 13 or 14 year olds at home, and now there was one on a microphone.
Worst nightmare.
Yeah. And it was instant rejection, you know, and it wasn't me being confident. It was more I was just delusional. I had no idea what I was doing. But sort of where I believe the vulgar part of the character that I play now, or, you know, this is the end of that character, but where that started was I remember the second gig I did, this old dude that was there every week yelled out at me, get off stage, you're not funny, make us laugh, say something funny. And he was smiling with all of his mates, looking like he was a big boy, you know, calling out in front of a 14-year-old. I remember looking at him and saying, like, it was this built-up aggression of everything I'd ever wanted to say to my dad, who I didn't like at the time, or still don't, but, you know. And I looked at him and I just said, you know, with language involved as well, but basically along the lines of, why are you smiling, are you proud of your teeth? Because he only had two. And, and there was this moment of, like, seeing the masculinity being sucked out of someone and him not being able to do anything because I was a kid. What was he going to do, get up and hit me?
Yeah.
And it was sort of this power trip that I had that I went, holy moly, like, I can play with this.
Yeah.
This is fun. So that was sort of the evolution of that. And then I suppose in high school I never really found... you know, my place. I wasn't the sportiest dude. I wasn't the best looking guy. And then I just found my identity, and I'm witty. I never wanted to be the class clown.
Okay.
I never wanted to yell things out and be But I'd always have my 2 cents that was quick, sharp, and we'd move along. And
right. Okay, yeah.
So that's
you said it was a musical open mic. So how did the comedy fare amongst, you know, because I feel like in Melbourne there's a lot of, you know, comedy open mics.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot of, I guess there is a lot of music open mics as well, but like they're, you know, two in the
pretty
same.
Separate.
You know, they're pretty separate.
Yeah.
So how did the comedy go over in a solely music open mic?
Well, I mean, it went fine. Like, I mean, if you're doing Townsville open mic at an Irish pub at 9:30 at night before me, you suck. So everyone sucked. So
okay. Were there other people doing comedy?
No, there
was the only one.
Okay. Yeah, and at the time, not that I knew of anyway, there was no one doing local stand-up comedy. I remember there being another dude that sort of popped his head out maybe 6 months after I'd done it, and he came to this open mic and I was there, and we were sort of like, I felt like, you're my arch nemesis. Like, you're the other guy that's trying. And he would just...
Where is he now?
Your Joker, yeah.
Well, he started sort of this... he started a comedy sort of, like, I don't know, room, I guess, in Townsville. And he sort of took that path, I think, once he realised that...
Room runner.
Well, yeah, because he sort of just did Tim Minchin sets and
I've already got one of those.
Yeah. I was like, well, you know, that's the cardinal rule in comedy. You just can't steal people's
material
stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, it went fine. But I do plenty of open mics. And then when I was 16, I remember traveling up to Cairns. They did a Raw Comedy there. And that was the first year they'd ever done it. And I remember I dropped out of high school, still wanting to do comedy. Before this, though, at 15, I'd done my first one-hour show. So this is a good story.
That's unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah. So to prove to my parents that this is what I really wanted to do, I went and found this uni student that I put a thing online. I was good with the internet. And she took some photos of me and she made some posters. And then I printed them out, went to Officeworks, printed them out, stuck them up around the universities and the schools. And people came to the show. It sold out 200 seats, which is...
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Well, I'm struggling to bloody sell that now. So to do that in...
Do you still have those posters?
Yeah.
I do. I'll show you after this, though, because I don't look like me. But it's people don't believe me when I tell that story. But, yeah, and I did this one-hour show, and I remember that night I'd made myself a Facebook page. That's when I made the Facebook page, and I remember getting, like, 200 likes overnight. And I thought, yeah.
Nearly tops us. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're
okay.
Sitting, we're climbing.
Like, yeah.
But, yeah, did Raw
cool,
Comedy.
260, yeah.
Wow, 16.
Okay. So what, so you said that was your first hour that you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you, like, you know, workshop the material beforehand? Did you, you know, really?
No.
You
couldn't
just
do
nothing.
It. Yeah. Couldn't do it. And I look back on it now, like, I've got the footage of the show, and I'm like, how did I do that? Because... I mean, essentially for comedy, you have to workshop things and things change over time. But I suppose they were just conversations that I was having in my head anyway.
Right.
I've got a few people inside of me, so they talk, and I, you know, I was able to pull it off.
You were confident enough in the fact that it was actually.
Yeah. And I remember my mum telling me that she had been physically sick in the toilet before, worried because, I mean, what if her son was going to get up there in front of 200 people that had paid to see me and I sucked, but, yeah, it was the most exhilarating feeling of my life, and it worked, and, you know, I'm lucky enough to still be slogging away at it now. Yeah.
So what, you said Raw, how far did you get in
Nowhere. So essentially what I'd done, I'd signed up for this thing, I was 16, had no idea you had to be 18, but I got on it was in Cairns, I was living in Townsville, so I got on a 6-hour bus ride up there by myself, had a job at this point that I'd saved up $120 to hire a hotel room for the night,
nice.
Get to the hotel, and she goes... You can't check in, like, you're not 18, like, you need to have a guardian. And I'm like, well, I don't have anyone, I've just got here on a bus. And she let me, you know, she's an older bird and sort of said, yep, come in. So, this is great.
Oh.
I get there and, anyway, everyone's obviously much older than me and we had 5 minutes and I thought, you know, Raw Comedy, this is it, make it or break it. But really, it's like Australian Idol. nothing ever eventuates.
But people still use the credit, I guess, you know.
Mm. So does Shannon Knoll. But,
true.
and he came second. You know, if anything, the ones that are runner-ups and the ones that, you know, they're normally the ones that run a bit further. Yeah. I don't know why that is. But just at that point, I'd realised just talent competitions in general, that was not going to be my audience was not going to be a general mainstream. I wasn't never going to fit that narrative. Much as I wanted to be Jimmy Fallon or something like that, it just never was going to be. Yeah. So... but did the show, and I remember the comedians coming up after me and going, you're really, really good, and maybe they were just, you know, kissing bum, but at the same time, I remember the girl that won it, was sort of a shock because it was like, she wasn't good at all. And that was sort of my first introduction. Yeah, everyone was shocked. And it was sort of that first introduction to, oh, okay, like, this is show business.
Who were the judges?
I don't really know. I don't know.
Comics or?
I don't know. I would say there were people that were involved with whatever institution it is. But that night, though, everyone still got along and all the comedians were really good. And that night was my first night getting, like, you know, it was free alcohol as well after the show, and no one knew that I was I was 16. Right. And so I'm in Cairns, and you know, this British chick who had performed as well, she sort of like took me under her wing and was you know, grabbed me some drinks, but looking after me and got me back to the hotel fine. Fell asleep, woke up, missed me bus home back to Townsville the next morning, and had to sit around Cairns for like 12 hours for the next bus by myself. But
still.
Yeah, and it was a hustle. It was a hustle. But if I didn't start back then and didn't have to go through that, I'd be doing it now. So I'm just thankful that I was delusional.
Well, while we try and find Josh in Cairns, because I think he's still there. He might be still there.
Well, I will be there very soon, and that's a plug.
Well, listen to this. You listen to Laugh Out Proud.
Z and G
on Joy 94.9. Listen to Laugh Out Proud.
Z and G
on Joy 94.9. And we're joined by Josh Wade. Still Josh Wade has decided to stick around during the song. Mm. And look, those dance moves that you were performing during that song.
I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't work it out. You were doing some sort of jive situation. It was something weird.
What do you call it?
I call you guys liars because I was not doing a dance at all through that.
What?
And this is a fraud, this entire show.
Whoa!
No, we're not even...
No,
oh.
No.
I heard radio all of a
this
sudden.
Is, no. That's the first time a guest has broken the fourth wall.
I'm sorry on that. I had to.
It was that's fine. No, that's
believe
fine.
It or not, it's still quarter to one in the morning.
Yeah, and I'm gonna dance right now just to prove everybody wrong because I'm dancing right now
in protest.
Now. So you can call me out right now, Josh. If you want, you can call me out. That's fine.
What song was it?
it was a great song, and I had a real boogie to it.
It was.
So you know,
and you get to any time we play it.
Yeah, that's right. You know, but so you do YouTube as well, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
So how did you sort of so you went comedy, stand up.
Yep.
So how did you make that jump to, let's start a YouTube channel?
Once I realised that I wasn't good enough for raw comedy, I'd been making YouTube videos ever since I was, like, 12, I think. Once I found out what YouTube was, I'd be putting up, like, little montages of things and that, and then I started making videos with my friends in high school. Like, I'd coax them into doing it with me, and then... So it was just a constant thing, but during that time, I didn't realise... I was trying to get famous on with the
go
comedy
viral,
videos, but it was never meant to be at that point because what the universe was essentially testing me was... It was teaching me... For what I'm doing now, it was like you need to learn the craft of how to make a video and how the social world works because this is where the world is going and you're going to be a pioneer in this. So it was basically that learning point at the start. It was like for an entrepreneur selling lemonade at a lemonade stand and then running a massive corporation. It was sort of for me that was my learning path. So once I'd left high school, I left halfway through grade 12. I was basically working at a new age store that did piercings, sold different types of paraphernalia, and did tarot card readings.
Oh,
so it was a mix of things, and that's
what a store to work at.
Yeah, yeah.
Queensland, that's awesome.
Queensland's got it all.
Yeah.
Well, literally the day that I quit high school, I went to work at my shift at this, it was a surf store, a big corporate surf store, and I went in, I got a little bit of a headache at lunchtime, and I was sitting at the table near Subway, and I thought to myself, well, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be at this store. I don't like doing this, and this is easy. You know, if I quit today and go home because I feel sick and I can lay down, then maybe it'll force me to find something else. So I went in and it was like out of a movie. I bloody took my work store badge off and I said, I'm going home. And the boss goes, what? And I said, no, I'm leaving. I'm not coming back. And, don't bother, just get someone else. She was just sort of shocked, and I was like, oh, good on me. And I walked out, but then at that point I realized I need to get a job. So I went to this, walked past this new age store and walked in and said, do you have a job available? They said, yep. So at that point it was like, I need to now make some money because my only thing that I'm good at this point, because I'd just broken up with this girlfriend I was in a relationship with, and I'd put a lot of attention into that, and it was sort of basically like, the only thing I'm good at is being funny. That's my identity. It's always been my identity. To most, anyway. Obviously, comedy is subjective, but overall, that was the response that I got. So I thought I'm going to have to give this YouTube thing one last shot because I'm not going to university. Obviously, I've left high school. I've got nothing left but this. This is the one thing that I'm okay at. So it was basically like, right, let's put all money on Red and whatever, you know, and run it. So I saved up $600. I got a Sony Canon camera. Sorry, yep, I'm a Canon guy. And
shout out.
Yeah, shout out to Canon for sponsoring me. Yeah. Thanks for all those Canon dollars. And I'm kidding. I'm still using that exact same camera to this day.
Oh, wow.
By the way, yeah,
that's hasn't longevity died yet. Out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The stories it's got.
It's a real plug now.
If it can talk, yeah. But
years he's got out of it. Yeah, sorry, yeah, continue, yeah. Continue. Yeah.
And that's at canon.com.au.
Yeah, yeah, there it is.
Well, you said we'd go full plug mode, and we have.
We did.
Do we get free cameras now? Does that mean we get free cameras?
No, I don't even get free cameras. But that was in the hopes of it.
Hello, Canon. No.
Is that on the iPhone?
Yeah, there it is. Like Samsung, thank you. No.
Got this camera and started making these videos because I always thought as well, if I want people to take me seriously, I need to look like, oh God, this guy's delusional and bought a really good camera. And anyway, just started making videos and eventually I was putting one up every week or maybe twice a week and they started to take off. And then I made a video essentially, which is what this show sort of, the beginning of what this show has become, with a character named Cunny, who essentially was the mask that I wore at high school. So a lot of my friends were footy dudes, they were blokey guys, and I
jocks.
Yeah, and I wasn't that. I was a kid that did drama class, but to fit in and, you know, like I say, better the devil you know than the devil you don't, I'd put on this mask and, you know, g'day, how you going, and that's how that sort of come about. And once I'd realised through high school I got so good at doing that, I thought, well, I should make a video about it. So I did a video called Bleep Aussies Say, you know, Things Aussies Say. Yeah, yeah. That was a sort of thing. And that was my first video that went nuts, and I sort of was playing this character. He wasn't known as Cunny back then. It was just, you know, a Frankenstein of people that I knew. Yeah, and started doing more videos with that. So I did one where I ran for US president during the election, which went really well. And then I kind of became an Uber driver for a day and then lost it pretty quickly. What else did he do? He's very fond of Pauline Hanson, Cunny.
Oh.
I'm not, but he is. He's basically just the quintessential bloke. But the thing is with him is, you know, he's quite vulgar and swears a lot, and a lot of the things that he says can sound outrageous, but there's other things that he say that are quite profound. And funny part is that it's coming from someone that isn't supposed to have these sorts of thoughts. So that's what I always found was funny. It was, what if you could get someone that talks dumb to be smart?
Yeah.
So that's cunning.
Were you doing stand-up while doing these YouTube videos?
Yeah. Right, still doing stand-up the whole time. And essentially it was just me, over so many years, throwing things at the wall to see what stuck, and then eventually the Bogan thing stuck, and I was like, well, you know, it's definitely not original. Like, just the history of comedy in Australia, we've had a fascination with battlers and stuff like that, and, you know, I think I hadn't seen sort of a Queensland version of the Bogan before, so the Bogan, like it's an animal. Well, they are. Yeah. And
you see them in the wild.
Yeah. Yep, and so I was going to say something, but then I'm not, because I'm on radio. But yeah, so what was I saying?
The Bogan character. We see it through. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where I was going with the rest of the sentence.
But you're doing stand up at the same time.
Oh yes. Yeah, and that's what stuck. So I went.
So then you tried that material on stage before you took it to YouTube?
No, it was two separate things the whole time. My stand-up comedy was completely separate to stuff.
How did you find yourself creatively shifting yourself there with that sort of material?
It wasn't until this year that I actually played the character on stage. It was like a profound thing. I was like, oh, I don't want to do the character anymore because I've had my fun with it and I've explored most of what I can with Cunny. So, and then I was like, well, I have to write a new show this year. And I thought, well, you know, I want to put it to rest. And if the people that are coming to my shows, I was using the Cunny videos to sell them to come to my live stand-up, which was completely different. I thought, why don't I do one last hurrah? And then everyone that actually, you know, the reason that they follow me for this character is I'll say goodbye to
it.
It's a send-off. And it's actually sort of a weirdly emotional show. Like, we've had people like get a little bit like, oh, geez, that was a little bit rough, actually. So it's more
of
a play.
To say goodbye as well.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And he's had a tough life, and his life are things that have actually happened in my life that I don't really necessarily want to acknowledge in Josh Wade's brain. So I'd rather translate it over to basically Cunny is everything I could have been if nothing worked out.
Do you find a disconnect in the audience between if people are coming to see your YouTube, you know, people only solely know you through YouTube. Do you find a disconnect between the stand-up material and what people come to see?
Well, a lot of it's before this show, a lot of it was a hybrid, so it'd be me up there and still with some of the vulgarness of Cunny, but I would talk about different issues than what Cunny would, and Cunny gets away with saying things that I wouldn't because it is a character, but not, that's not an excuse, but it's also like I'm pulling your leg with this character, I'm making fun of the people or the person that I'm actually playing. But no, there wasn't a disconnect, but there are people, and still to this day, and I suppose with most comedians, you have people come to your shows thinking that what they see out of a 2-minute video online is essentially the 3-dimensional person that you are, and it's so much further from the truth. So many people would offer me, you know, different types of things to take after the show for free, and I'd be like, oh, actually, you know, that's a lie, like, and it scares me because well. You know, if I have accidentally tricked you into thinking that this is what I am, then, geez, imagine what you could do on the TV mainstream media with a budget.
So, just quickly, I wanted to mention the documentary that you did. You know, you went into a sort of a serious side of the YouTube channel, and you know, looking at Nimbin and the marijuana legalization.
Yep.
So I just wanted to commend you for that, because that was a fantastic documentary.
Thank you. I learned a few things from it as well. Yeah. Things that I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be such a... Just to go in and have a perspective, not an agenda. Agenda makes it sound evil, almost. Like you're an evil villain in your tower. No, but
I'm part of the deep state.
But you went in there and you wanted to investigate and find... And what were some of the things you found?
Well, I found... So, I am for cannabis legalization. I used to say marijuana, but I found out that marijuana... It was never even called marijuana. It was a word invented by the CIA to make it sound more Mexican. Because they were demonize it and say that these Mexicans are smoking it. And when they smoke it, they, you know, kill, murder, and rape people. And it was all just a lie because...
Reefer madness, right?
Yeah, reefer madness. They were trying to basically, you know... It was a new industry in pharmaceuticals, and not just that, but it all came back to hemp. And I'm sure you guys are aware.
Paper.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just a shift in the industry. Finding that out, and then I was interviewing a few people, and they were sort of getting up me for calling it marijuana. They're like, don't, you know, you're propagating exactly what we're fighting against. So cannabis, that's what I had to learn. So I'm all on that. But what I learned sort of from the Nimbin thing was, and what I found fascinating was...
The hemp party will probably run into an issue then, because their acronym is Help End Marijuana Prohibition.
Yeah, well...
So we're going to make some phone calls.
Yeah. No, I can't change anything. It's a bit self-righteous, but... Yeah, I sort of learnt that what was fascinating, I thought I was going to go there and everyone's going to be smoking and weed and sort of celebrating that. But I found some, you know, I like to play devil's advocate, even some things I agree with.
It's good too, though. It gives you like an objective viewpoint, so it's not all just one-sided.
Yeah, exactly. And I like when people play devil's advocate with me, because it makes me see if my opinion is actually well thought out and if it is true, because if I can't defend it, then... maybe it's flawed. So meeting people that would, you know, a lot of the time people that smoke cannabis, I know I used to, would mix tobacco with their cannabis. And, you know, they're also the people that are out there campaigning that cannabis is curing cancer or helps with cancer. And I thought, well, geez, that one's a bit flawed. But also what I found the most with the Nimbin Mardi Gras was just people taking all sorts of drugs. And... I've got nothing. I'm all for, you know, if you want to put in your body what you want to put in, I don't care. Like, it's all about free will and sovereignty. But, I did find the protest was more about just being able to live the life that you want to live, and it sort of covered a lot of things. It wasn't just exclusively cannabis. So that was fascinating. But
Well, we are in motion to the ocean.
We're not landlocked.
We're not landlocked.
We are not landlocked.
But you have a tour coming up.
Yeah, I do.
You do? Where are you playing?
I'm playing all over the country. I'm going to be in Melbourne for 4 shows over 2 nights, so I've never done that before, but that's going to be fun. So we have an early show and a late show on the 13th and the 14th of September, I believe. I hope so. Yep, Molly's agreeing there, the PR lady, so that's good.
Lovely lady, Molly.
Yeah. Shout out to Molly. Molza. Well, that didn't sound good. That sounds like what you nickname a mole.
After too many dados.
Yeah.
Have a dado and get your molzes checked. But yeah, so if you want to hear more of those jokes, I'm going to be on stage here in Melbourne on those dates. And the show is, yeah, so I basically play myself on stage, and I also play Cunny on stage, and you get to hear his life story, and then I get to say goodbye to him. So yeah, and then I'm going to be moving into some more documentary stuff.
Right on,
awesome. I've been doing a series and a podcast called Conspiracy, where I interview all different types of people. We've had some really interesting guests, and I've got some hopeful guests. I want Chappelle Corby on, I want Pauline Hanson and a bunch of other people. So that's where we're going, and that's where I want to go in the future. And yeah,
so where can people find you?
They can find me, just head to the website, www.frontiercomedy.com/Josh Wade, or my website, cunny.tv/tickets, both available there.
Awesome.
But yeah, and
Facebook's the Twitters.
Facebook's the Twitters, yeah. Facebook.com/Josh Wade Comedy. Instagram, which is what I'm trying to push, is Instagram.com/Josh Wade with two E's, because some bloody idiot.
You're going to buy it off him?
No.
What do you reckon?
No.
How much is he offering?
I don't care. I have $18,000 on an American Express. I have no money to be spending on a silly social media name, but I'm going to have to get the posters changed. Don't worry about it. I'm Josh Waddy. but yeah, that's it. That's all I really want to plug. But
thank you so much, Josh Waddy. We appreciate it. Josh Wade, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
No worries. You've been listening to Laugh Out Proud
with Z&G
on Joy 94.9.
For listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.